Fiona Golombek, a holistic physiotherapist and health and wellness coach, is here with 101.5 FM to guide us through the maze. Thank you for joining us today, Lorna.
Thank you for having me, Rosemary. Lovely to be here.
Now, we know that women's bodies adapt to many changes throughout the decades. What are those changes and what do we need to look out for?
So, Rosemary, you know, something I hear a lot of the time when I'm coaching people, when I'm treating them in my physio clinic is, you know, just women find that their bodies change and they don't recognize them anymore. So, you know, it can be post-pregnancy, it can be someone in their 40s, or it can be somebody in their, you know, 70s and 80s, just finding that their bodies are changing through these transitions and actually understanding them as some of the keys to really aging well. So, you know, with those major hormonal transitions from our puberty to our pregnancy and menopause, those changes influence everything from our metabolism to our sleep to how we recover from exercise. And, you know, for many years, most health research was actually done on men. So women were often given the same advice, but we're learning that understanding the female body and how it changes across their lifespan is really the key to supporting healthy aging.
Uh-huh. So with International Women's Day this month, what are some of the biggest differences in how women's bodies respond to health and aging compared to men, Lorna?
So what we see is women's bodies are often under a lot more stress because of all the multi-caring that they're doing, you know. So they're juggling work and family and caring responsibilities. And so that stress response in the female, they have an incredible resilience. But when their hormonal shifts happen, that capacity can actually drop temporarily and their brain has to recalibrate, their body has to recalibrate. And if they don't have awareness around these things, their health can really be impacted. So it's very interesting that men can often suffer with sort of arthritic issues and things like that a little earlier in life, but women tend to kind of find those things happening later in life just because they've got this resilience that carries them through. So, you know, it's little things like that. You know, we have a look at even things like heart attacks. The symptoms in women can be completely different to what we find in men. So the traditional, you know, thoughts around, you know, cardiac arrest, a woman might ignore some of her symptoms for a week before she actually goes and gets help at the ER. Yeah. And, you know, so women very much are finding that, you know, their health challenges are often flying under the radar because they just don't have time to pay attention to things.
It certainly goes a little bit that way. Lorna, is there something that women often get wrong when it comes to looking after their health? I mean, you've just mentioned that we wait a week until we get off to the doctor because we're not so sure about it. What are some of the other things?
So, you know, when women do look at exercising, quite often they are very focused on cardio exercise because we talk about heart health. And that is, it is very important to have a healthy heart to help pump that circulation around the body and, you know, give information to our brain and oxygen and deliver all our nutrients and, you know, keep everything supple. But actually, as we age, strength training becomes incredibly important for maintaining our muscle, supporting our bone density and protecting joint health because our muscle mass actually declines as we age if we don't put strength training into it and we start losing the quality of our muscles. So you will notice when you get to your sort of mid-40s, you know, into your 50s and then beyond that, that getting up off the floor suddenly starts becoming a lot harder. If you haven't been practicing it and haven't been using the muscles that actually make that possible, we start losing little things like that. And then before you know it, it's hard just to climb the flight of stairs.
There you go. Yes, and with the weight training, it's something that younger women tend to think about, Lorna. But some of the older women, I think, sort of let it go a bit, don't we?
Well, look, I think when you look at the generation that are now in their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, we grew up with, you know, the Jane Fondas of this world and aerobic exercise. And there was a lot of focus on sort of, you know, sort of high reps. If you were doing any strength training, there wasn't actually training on, it was all nicknamed toning, you know, which toning is fine. It's, you know, you using those muscles, but actually loading the muscle to a capacity where it's actually hard to do the exercise is what true strength training is. And that may vary from person to person. So, you know, we're hearing all over the place, you know, lift heavy, lift heavy. Well, you're not going to go out and do 100 kg deadlift the first time you try it. So this is important to kind of highlight for listeners, is really just to focus on where you're at, you know, and just kind of build slow little strength things into your daily routine. So it could just be, I think we've discussed this before, you know, when you go to sit down on a chair, do it three times and don't let your bottom touch until you hit the third time. You know, that can be a form of strength training for someone.
And that sort of leads me right into the next question I have here, Lorna. And for some women that are listening today, what are some of the simple little things? And you've just mentioned one there, but I know that there's a whole lot that you can just start to support healthy aging.
Absolutely. Well, you know, healthy aging really comes down to our small habits that we do consistently. They can make a big difference from that side of things. So obviously we're talking about movement. I'm a physio, I'm a health coach. That's what we're talking about. Yes. So moving your body daily is super important in terms of getting, you know, the circulation moving, some form of strength or resistance training 2 to 3 times a week, because our bodies were designed to move regularly throughout the day. So, you know, it might be walking, it might be your strength training, some stretching, some mobility work, but even things like gardening or swimming, you know, taking the dog for a walk, putting a little sprint in with that, can all be helpful, because movement helps keep our joints healthy, it maintains our muscle mass, supports that bone density and improves the circulation, stimulates the lymphatics, and then that helps the body clear waste products and reduces inflammation. So what I would really like to focus on for women is to make the move away from exercising just to burn calories and instead moving to build strength and mobility to support the body as we age. The next thing we'd probably look at would be sleep. So, you know, it's easy to say prioritize your sleep and recovery because that's when the body repairs and regulates hormones, you know, but you can't actually wake up and choose to have a good night's sleep like you would wake up and choose to exercise in a day. You know, it's often the first thing we sacrifice when life gets busy. And it's so important to understand that during sleep, that's when the body carries out those important repair processes. And yes, the hormones are regulated, tissues are repaired, but even more importantly, it clears the brain of waste products that build up during the daytime. So preventing dementia actually relies on having really good sleep. And, you know, this is a big thing that we find through midlife, because obviously that gets disrupted with hot flushes and, you know, anxiety and all sorts of things. But really looking at how you work through the day sets up how you're going to have a good sleep. So it would be getting morning light in your eyes, which actually resets your body clock to tell it what time to start getting tired. You know, making sure you have a regular bedtime as many nights of the week as you possibly can, limiting your screens late at night, and then creating a calm sleep environment. So almost like a baby, you know how when you have babies, you have a little routine that they have a nice bath and you wrap them up and you sing them a little lullaby and maybe read them a bedtime story, maybe put a diffuser on with essential oils. Essentially, we're all big babies. We need to have a routine that our body knows it's time to actually go to sleep and do its overnight maintenance. And then the last thing is looking at supporting overall cellular health. So people don't often think about cellular health, but it's every function of your body begins in the cells, from muscle repair to your immune health to brain function. So you can support that through good hydration, good nutrition, and managing your stress. Those are your basics, and then the sleep feeds into that as well. And there's lots of science that we can go into in another talk, but really if we can support our body at the cellular level, then we do give it that best chance to repair and adapt and stay strong as we age.
Lorna, you know, the goal is basically not to live longer, but to stay strong and active and to keep going through doing the things that we enjoy. What gives you some hope when you look at women's health today?
Look, Rosemary, I think we're really seeing a positive shift. Women of all ages are becoming much more curious about their health, more willing to ask questions about what their bodies need at different stages of life. And when women can understand their bodies and are educated and can support them well, then aging doesn't necessarily have to mean the decline that we're seeing, you know, in the older population now, mm-hmm. it can actually become a time of strength and vitality and continued growth.
Beautiful. Lorna, you and I've often said this, we can talk about this forever, but have you got a closing thought for us today, particularly when we're talking about strictly women's health?
Absolutely. You know, when we think about lifespan, of how long somebody wants to live for, you know, that's one thing. Yes, I want to live as long as I can, but what actually really matters is that health span, the years that we can stay strong and mobile and able to enjoy life. And so, you know, for women, this piece around getting our strength training in, eating adequate calories, because women have underfed themselves for years to try and stay small, is really, really important, so that we actually put that mobility work in and continue enjoying the years in our life, not just, you know, plodding along and not being able to have good quality of life. We want to have good health span so that we can enjoy our grandchildren and all the activities and interactions and social events with our friends and family as well. So we want to be adding life to those years as well.
Lovely. And the message I'm hearing, Lorna, is physical movement, including strength training, coupled with good sleep, of course, good nutrition and plenty of water, that will support us in continuing a healthy and active life for decades. That sounds pretty simple recipe, doesn't it? Building good health that will last a lifetime to keep that lifetime active and full of vitality. Lorna Golombek, holistic physiotherapist and health and wellness coach. Thanks very much for joining us, and let's hope that you enjoy this podcast, listeners. You can tune into and search 1015fm.com.au and listen to Lorna's health and wellness tips. Thanks, Lorna.
Thanks, Rosemary.